Well, it's kind of hard to transition when we think what's going on in the world and raising our heads and our hands and knowing that salvation is at hand when we have our Ukrainian brothers and sisters experiencing what they are, our Indian brothers and sisters and throughout the world. But I want to kind of change our emotion a wee bit because I'm giddy and excited about embarking on a study on the book of Acts. It's like a kid in the sweet shop. The book of Acts is just a wonderful book. For me, as we finished up our church plant in Austria, the decision was we either go to another area and wait and pray for 10 or 15 years for a church to get started, or we had to look at our children. They needed to be educated in English. All of their education was in German, so we said, let's go back to America. But one of the other goals for me was to get education on how our European education system works. So I pursued a degree from London School of Theology, and my topic was Lucan authorship, so the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And I looked at the church advancing through the vehicle of prayer. So I spent 6 years of just going through Luke and Acts, and especially the book of Acts, and seeing what God tells us in his word. So I'm very excited about this study. It's also like going to a car show and looking at all of the cars and kicking the tires of these new things and seeing the wonderful features in the car, or going to an iPhone exhibition and seeing all the new little handy gadgets on the phone. There are so many features that are available, and the book of Acts is loaded with features that are necessary and important for us as a church here in Sligo in the 21st century. Jesus was speaking to Paul in a vision and told him, "Don't be afraid, keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you." Acts 18. So, therefore, the title, The Unstoppable Church. The never stop motif or theme runs throughout the book of Acts with reckless abandon. You almost take this book and you read it, and it's like holding the reins of a stallion that's just gone wild. You pick up that book and you read those 28 chapters, and there's so much movement and so much going on. And it's ceaseless. It's unstoppable. They never stop teaching and proclaiming. Everywhere they go, they're proclaiming and preaching the gospel. Never stop warning, day or night, with tears. And at least 25 times throughout the book, there's this get up and go theme. We have that as one of our core values here in evangelism. We gotta get up and we gotta go. We gotta get up and we gotta go. We gotta get up and we gotta go. And it's the spirit that is spreading like wildfire in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So as we already know, because we've been walking with the Lord a while, we know that Luke's presentation here in this wonderful book is just really the growth of Christianity throughout the world. It starts in Jerusalem and explodes and goes beyond the boundaries through Palestine, through Antioch, through southern central Asia Minor, through into the church in Europe and to the church of Rome. So I was delighted to see that Matthew picked up on that theme of fire and wildfire. The island of Hawaii experienced a horrific wildfire just recently. We have friends in Colorado who experienced a wildfire and lost everything they had. All of their memories were puffed up in smoke. Living in California, brush fires are very common. I know fires here are probably not as common. There's wild grass that grows and gets real dry, and you have to cut the hills down. They hire goats to eat down the grass so as to abate fire. My 70-year-old grandfather was up on a hill where we lived prior to coming here in his house, and he was enveloped by fire, and he climbed up on the roof of his house, and he was spraying with a hose to prevent the fire from getting anywhere closer to the house. So what is notable about a wildfire? It's unstoppable. It can't be stopped once it's opened. And that's the picture that we have here on Acts. So very briefly, just a quick overview of what we're going to be discovering over the next full year. Matthew is going to preach the first five verses next week, but it's about the early church. They couldn't be stopped. They were unstoppable. And for that reason, for us as a church family, I'm very excited about this. The title of the book, the Acts of the Apostles, it's a very personal account. It's not primarily doctrinal. It's very personal, giving records of the lives of real people. It's also a historical account. There's actual names and places that are verifiable facts. It's also an ongoing account. It's in the present tense. So what happened started 2,000 years ago. It's continuing to this day, even in 2023. So it's ever ongoing. Christianity didn't stop at the end of chapter 28, did it? It kept on going to Acts 29, and it continues to spread and be built. The author, Luke is the author, but his name isn't found in the book. There's a combination of external and internal suggestions that suggest him as such. Paul was Luke's sometimes companion. He's probably not Jewish, although there's a debate among commentators and scholars. He probably was Jewish, but some think he was not Jewish. We can ask him when we get to heaven. He was probably from Antioch, Syria. He writes two books, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. The book of Acts is just a recording of the history of the early church. He was converted into Christianity later in his life. He's a well-known medical doctor, isn't he? So he had a white-collar job, didn't he? He was educated. He was affluent. He was a successful man. And there's no really indication of him giving up his medical practice. So he worked while he was also a pastor and involved in full-time ministry as a volunteer leader in the church. He was a close friend of the Apostle Paul. And as we read the New Testament, they traveled a lot together. They worked together. They were partners. And Luke may have been, possibly was, Luke's personal physician. So the two of these men together have written a substantial amount of the New Testament. Luke has written 28% of the New Testament, an unbelievable amount. And in both Luke and Acts, we're looking at the history of Jesus and the Gospels and then the history of the early church. And he's writing to Theophilus, basically, literally, lover of God, one who loves God. And what we can ascertain, Theophilus was a rich, affluent, wealthy man, a successful businessman. So Luke and Theophilus come together and they decide to interview as many eyewitnesses to what Jesus' life was all about. They need to define these disciples, gather all of this information. Theophilus paid the bill while Luke did all of the interviewing. And he went about. What were the possible sources? Well, there are eyewitnesses because of the we passages throughout Luke. There's written documents that were used, the apostolic decrees in Acts 21:25, the Jerusalem archives, and then there were oral conversations with Manin, Paul, Philip, Manasseh, James, Timothy, and Silas, and other church leaders. So for all of that gathering of information, Luke compiles his treatise here. It was probably written around 62 AD. Acts 28 records the apostle Paul was still alive at that time, at the completion of the book. And it was known that it hadn't been referred to, or it was known fact that Jerusalem came down and was destroyed in 70 AD, so there's no record of that. So it's probably around, and Paul died in 68 was persecuted and died in 68 AD. So it's probably around 62 AD. So we've talked about his audience, writing for Theophilus, but there were also other readers of this letter. There was the Gentile Christian community. We see the Greco-Roman preface, so there's indications of that. Luke and Acts are both reaching out to the Gentiles, so there's an underscoring of that throughout the book. And Luke uses a heavy amount of Old Testament, Greek, biblical Septuagint quotations in there. So he's handling lots of concerns for Christians and viewpoints and interests there. So really the key word throughout the book is growth, the growth of the church. There's 11 times what they call summary statements throughout the book of Luke. And this is what Luke is saying about the church. It's a progress report. It's divine. It's irresistible. It's impressive. And it acts kind of as connective tissue and a transition point as he's recording his eyewitness accounts there. It's also a method of writing history. And then the theme. Is the theme the Holy Spirit? Well, certainly the promise of the Holy Spirit comes there. Is it the church? Actually, the theme has always been and will always be Jesus Christ. Verse 1, chapter 1, and then Acts 28:31. The book of Luke covered the life of Jesus, his passion and his resurrection, and the book of Luke, or Acts, will cover the life that Jesus lives through his disciple, continuing the mission of Jesus through the church until he returns again. So I love the book of Acts because it shows us that Jesus loves his church. So we're looking at history of our brothers and sisters of 2,000 years ago and how it came into being. So we're going to understand that and underscore that. But it's really a life of Jesus lived in and through the church. So it's really important not only to know that Jesus is the main theme there, but it's also Jesus' people, the life of Jesus in us. And Luke moves from the life of Jesus into the life of Jesus' people, the church, as we see the Holy Spirit descending on the church at Pentecost. And then the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus at his baptism. And we see that life of Jesus in us now through the Holy Spirit. And there's a new people being brought forth. We read at the beginning of Acts chapter 1, in his first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. He ascended back into heaven, and after that he had given his commands through the Holy Spirit. So he's going to keep emphasizing the ministry of Jesus through the church who is empowered by the Holy Spirit and the conversion of people along the way through that power. Other themes throughout the book of Acts are the life and the worship of the church, the story of the church, the unstoppable church. The basic mission to the Gentiles is huge. We're going to see opposition. We had a week on the International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church, the theology of persecution. That will come forth strongly throughout the book. So just four things as we kind of draw this to a conclusion. What is the book of Acts really about? Well, it's that unstoppable kingdom, isn't it? The unstoppable church. Luke is accomplishing two things. He's connecting the Gospel of Luke to Acts, and he provides us a preview as we go into the rest of the book of Acts for the final culmination of Christ's kingdom. The gospel will go into Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And we see God's sovereign hand throughout that whole process, guarding and guiding and moving it forward. But first we see the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in the unstoppable church. Jesus had promised, wait here until the promised Holy Spirit would come. He does come in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. And it's the Spirit that provides the power for the church to carry on this mission. And then, what is the message of the kingdom and the unstoppable church? Every single conversion report, every single conversion is due to a person explaining the gospel to another person in the book of Acts. Philip to the Ethiopian, Ananias to Saul, Peter to Cornelius. And for some reason, God has chosen always to work his divine power of conversion through us speaking and proclaiming that message to another person. Luke chapter 2 verse, or Acts chapter 2 verse 38, Peter proclaimed this message at Pentecost, didn't he? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. So it's that same message of hope that we proclaim to the people today, that Jesus of Nazareth, through a willing sacrifice on his own, on the cross, he reconciled us to God, the gospel, right? So that we might be forgiven of our sins and by grace be brought into the presence of God's Holy Spirit if we only repent of our empty and our selfish ways. And that's the gospel. And that's the point of Acts. It's not really recording the life of Jesus. It's recording more of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's the core of the message. Thirdly, we see this getting up and going. We see this never stopping, this expansion of the kingdom. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. So we see that in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 6, 8, 9. Throughout the whole book, we just see the expansion of the kingdom to the othermost parts of the world. And he very succinctly and carefully dialogues that and records that for us as a historian. And then lastly, I think we've talked about God's sovereignty. God is certainly the one that validates, and he's the one that's at work causing this to happen. There are numerous passages that show the events of the early church were fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy, weren't they? Jesus was betrayed by a disciple and replaced in Psalm 109. God is pouring out his spirit as in Joel. Israel continues to persist in unbelief. God grants repentance. He appoints to eternal life. So all of these things are just Old Testament prophecies that are becoming fulfilled. Even the death of Jesus was prophesied beforehand. It was part of God's plan. Peter prays in chapter 4, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your spirit. So even the death of Jesus was part of God's plan. And as we read in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Nothing will overcome this church. It's an unstoppable force. So we're going to see God at work. We're going to see him in control. Nothing can stop his hand. Nothing can stop his plan. It's worked out masterfully, and we get to be a part of that. And God is still at work. He's calling men and women to himself. Nothing is too difficult for him. He continues to expand his church. And we have a job to do, don't we? These weak vessels have a job to carry out as ambassadors, this good news message. So let me conclude with a story on a wildfire. I have a colleague that has since retired, but he and his family worked with us in Austria. He's from Nebraska, and there's wheat fields and corn fields all around. He was out with his cousin, who was a farmer, out in the field, and there was a prairie fire coming. And they did not have a chance to get out of that fire. His cousin, who was an experienced farmer, you know what he did? He went and lit a part of the field so it would burn, so they would have a place to stand when this barrage of wildfire were coming. Luckily, thankfully, in time, they got that fire started. It burnt a spot where they could come and be protected. And that, for us, is what Jesus has done. He's taken that upon himself so that we can stand in his righteousness before a holy God. And we have that message to proclaim as God's unstoppable church. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you that all good gifts come down from the Father of lights. And you have provided everything we need for life and godliness. You've given us your church, your lovely church that was purchased with the costly blood of your Son, our Savior. You've put us in the family together to care for one another, to love one another, to support one another. You've given us your word that is our sword of the Spirit that shows us your heart and your mind and your will for our lives and for the lives of all of your church families, for this church family. And Lord, we want to be the church that you want us to be. We want us to be tirelessly about spreading that good news, never stopping. We want to be like that stallion that runs unabandoned out into the highways and byways, fearlessly, courageously proclaiming the good news of our Savior. Help us to do that. Protect us from that. Lord, bless each one of these precious folks here that are part of our church family. For those that couldn't be with us, Lord, you know what's going on in the hearts and the lives and the working world and the family world and the spiritual realm. Father, in the financial realm, Lord, we would just pray for one another. We would ask, I would ask that you would reign as ruler. And Lord, that we could fall back on what we learned last week, having a biblical joy of having a holy optimism, a strong faith and trust in you, to live our lives for Jesus in a productive and a fruitful way, no matter what the circumstance. And Lord, we sense that your coming is soon. It could be very, very soon, and the time is short. We love looking at the signs that you showed us that are here. And Lord, it should spawn us and spur us on to be about what Jesus has asked us to do, to get up and to go and to never stop. Help us, we pray in that, in Jesus' name. Amen.